This is WCNY's The Capitol Press Room, and we're getting the upstate healthcare facility perspective on the state budget. And to do that, we're joined by Gary Fitzgerald, president and CEO of the Iroquois Healthcare Association, a regional healthcare trade organization representing more than 50 hospitals and health systems in upstate New York. Welcome back to the show, Gary.
Thank you, Dave.
And we're also joined by the organization's executive vice president, Kevin Kerwin. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thanks very much, David.
So I guess for starters, I'm curious, what stood out to you in the recently enacted state budget, either for good or ill? What's the headline for you?
Well, we could start with the governor's budget. When she first introduced her executive budget, we were a little disappointed, quite frankly. Hundreds of millions of dollars in cuts to Medicaid and to hospital programs. And we thought that last year we had received a 7% increase in Medicaid rates for hospitals. And we thought that maybe she would build on that because we're still insufficient when it comes to funding for Medicaid-related activities. But she came out with a budget which was really a cut all across the board for hospitals and nursing homes and every kind of healthcare provider. So we were disappointed. So we had to work really hard with the legislature to make sure that they first put back the cuts that the governor proposed and had to buy those cuts back from the executive and then add to that funding for the future in this current fiscal year, which started April 1. So it was kind of a rough sledding and a surprise that the governor was made that kind of a negative impact on our budgets for hospitals and nursing homes going forward. So we've got some questions about this year's budget that passed in April, a little late this year, but I think it was a surprise at first, and then work really hard to fill in some of the cuts that the governor proposed in her original budget submission.
Well, yeah, Kevin, the budget as framed by Governor Hochul is something that contains historic levels of Medicaid investments. I think $37 billion is the number that they tout in order to support both the healthcare safety net and efforts to transform the healthcare delivery system. What does all that mean, though, for upstate providers like yourselves?
The issue is the adequacy of rates. As Gary was saying, there's a 30% Medicaid budget gap, and upstate hospitals really need the finances in order to keep moving forward with their programming. So we're grateful that the final budget had the $525 million for hospital increases, but there was really broad discretion in how that could be delivered. So what we're urging is that upstate and rural New York hospitals get their fair share of those dollars.
You mentioned that 30% Medicaid issue. Are you talking about the number that's touted about what Medicaid rates are worth compared to what it costs to provide care?
That's exactly right, David.
And so what does that percentage come from? Because I've seen some reporting that calls into question the validity of that, and it gets touted a lot by the union representing healthcare workers, and they have been really loath to defend it. So what's your understanding of where that percentage comes from?
The 30% varies. Medicaid is across the state of New York. So in upstate New York, it could be a little less than that. Downstate, it could be a little more than that. That's an average. We just know that the hospitals and nursing homes are two different reimbursement mechanisms, quite frankly. But Medicaid funds a person who walks into a hospital. Hospitals have to treat everyone, whether they have insurance or not, or Medicaid or Blue Cross or Blue Shield. If they come to the emergency room, they must be treated by law. And the Medicaid rate that we get to treat those people in a hospital is approximately 30% below what it costs to treat those people. And again, that's a statewide average, and it could be higher or lower depending on where you are. But Medicaid has always been not a good payer when it comes to paying rates for providers. And you have to understand the Medicaid budget. It's a little complicated, but there's the budget for people who sign up for Medicaid, and there's people, and there's the rates that hospitals get and nursing homes get, which is a Medicaid rate. Those are different. Part of the governor's and the ex-governor's initiative was to sign everybody up for Medicaid, to try to get everyone either in Healthcare Plus or Medicaid. And quite frankly, the former governor Cuomo was very successful in getting so many people into Medicaid that the Medicaid budget would expand exponentially, but the Medicaid rates for hospitals and nursing homes were not impacted, were not increased. So there's been a fight between certain people over why is the state's Medicaid budget exploding. It's not because of the rates they're paying hospitals and nursing homes. It's because of the people they're signing up to be in the Medicaid program.
Well, do you think then we need to focus a concentrated effort of getting people off of Medicaid and get them onto commercial plans that from the healthcare provider perspective have more lucrative reimbursement rates for care?
Well, that would be great if the people could afford that, people that aren't working or disabled are on Medicaid and that they can't get health insurance from Blue Cross, let's say, or commercial, we call it commercial insurance, because they don't have it through their employer or they just can't afford it. So that's why that was set up, the Healthcare Act through the federal government, and the state of New York has its own program. So yeah, it would be better if more people were on those programs, better for everyone, but it's easier for just to sign people up for Medicaid. And the Medicaid program in New York State is quite rich when it comes to benefits for people that sign up for Medicaid. And some might say it's even richer than a regular commercial insurance plan for people that have it through their employer.
So, Gary, when we talked in the fall of 2022, you had just completed a survey of upstate healthcare operators across 32 counties that indicate at least some hospitals and health systems at that time were at a tipping point as a result of the financial stress they were experiencing. What do you think this budget and the reimbursement rates that are included in it mean for the providers that are part of your association? Does this stabilize things? Does it reverse the negative trends? Does it fail to live up to the moment? What's your sense of things?
We collect financial data, David, from our hospitals, and this budget will help a little bit. But once again, we met with the division of the budget earlier this week on Wednesday, trying to figure out where the money will go and when it will go to what hospitals and when will it be released by the division of the budget and DOH. We didn't get a lot of response as to when it would get out and when it would be and who would get the money. There is money in the 1115 waiver for safety net hospitals, which is a whole different component of, it's not part of the budget. 1115 waiver is coming from the federal government, but there's a significant amount of money in there for just New York City hospitals. And we've argued with whoever will listen to us from both Senate and the Assembly and the governor's office that we need money to flow to upstate as well. Also, there was money to bail out the hospital in Brooklyn. If you recall, there was a fight about that. The end result of the budget was that money was put in there to bail them out, hundreds of millions of dollars. And so we're just concerned that the money that was put in the budget, it's a good thing, the 550 that Kevin talked about, but we're not sure where it's going to go. And New York City could eat up $550 million within a month if it went there. And that's our biggest concern.
Many of our hospitals are operating with negative operating margins. Their costs are increasing really exponentially. And there are labor shortages upstate that we're trying to deal with as well. And that contributes to the backup of care from nursing homes where there are beds closed because of staffing issues. And then you have individuals who are not able to be discharged from the hospital into a nursing home or another alternate level of care. And while those folks are in the hospitals are getting little or no reimbursement for that care. So it just exacerbates the whole system.
Looking at the other side of the spending equation, the revenue side of things, we spoke with the budget director recently, and he said that the MCO tax, this effort to try to tap into additional federal resources, is necessary to defray some of the costs of the Medicaid rates that they're looking to advance this year and in the future. Are you guys supportive of this MCO gambit?
Yeah, we are. But again, lack of details, quite frankly. We support the concept, and we've looked at other states that have where it's been approved, California, for example, and it will free up federal dollars, which would come to New York State and would be able to subsidize the Medicaid budget But once again, David, we don't know when, whether CMS will approve it. You know, the federal government is going through an election year. There could be a change in administration in a few months. And so a lot of moving parts. The concept itself is we support because it generates more federal dollars into New York State. It seems like everyone supports it, quite frankly. But there's a lot of details to be left explored by us. And we've tried to get the details from DOB and DOH, and there's just not a lot of forthcoming when it comes to what actually will happen. When will the money come? How much will it be? How much will the state take and put in the rainy day fund? And we just don't have any answers yet.
Things are very preliminary at this point. And I heard your interview with Blake yesterday, and it sounds like that's where things are at a preliminary stage.
Well, sticking with the revenue side of things, the governor pushed through and the legislature agreed with some consumer protection initiatives as it pertains to the patient's relationship with hospitals and their ability to go after patients with lawsuits to collect maybe bills they haven't been paid and to ensure that financial assistance programs are being made available to low-income New Yorkers. Do you think this is going to have any significant impact on your bottom line, either because you can't recoup as much of the money that you're owed or because you might have to dole out more financial assistance?
This has been an ongoing issue for many years. And a number of years ago, the hospitals were authorized to publicize their charity proposals. So every hospital, every actually physician office has a sign somewhere that says, if you can't pay, this is what you have to do. This is where you apply. And we provide charity care for those who cannot make the payments if they meet the requirements of the payment procedures. So we try our best as hospitals to work with individuals to make sure they can make the payments. Some people can make the payments, just don't pay. And so, you know, we try to avoid that, obviously. But this is just a little one more hoop to jump through for hospitals to try to get services paid for that they've already rendered. As I said earlier, a hospital cannot turn away anyone that shows up at the ER for any reason. It certainly can't turn away people that they can't pay. So it's a little bit, it's just another hoop that we have to jump through to make sure that we get paid for services that we've already provided to those people.
But do you feel like it will result in more financial aid being distributed by the hospitals and less revenue being collected through lawsuits? Because we've heard from some on the consumer advocate side that argue the existing statutes are problematic because they're not enforced well enough, and they feel like there's potentially more teeth or what you would call hoops to jump through to ensure compliance. So I guess, do you expect a change to your bottom line, or do you think this will not have an impact?
I think it's a little too early to tell to see exactly what the impacts will be. The income threshold was changed pretty significantly to include many more people who would be eligible for assistance. And I think some of the other pieces of the legislation or law now are still being examined by our members to determine exactly what the impact will be. I know in speaking with our members, they use the debt collection practices to varying degrees. Because litigation is costly as well. And there have been some other laws put in place in the last couple of years with respect to liens and those sorts of things that I think we haven't seen the full impact of. So too soon to tell, I would say, David.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this conversation. We've been speaking with Gary Fitzgerald. He's the president and CEO of the Iroquois Healthcare Association. Gary, thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you, David.
And we've also been hearing from the organization's executive vice president, Kevin Kerwin. Thank you, Kevin.
Great. Good to be here, David. Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room provided by the American Heart Association. Schools are for students, families at plays, and athletic events. In an emergency, the American Heart Association believes a cardiac emergency response plan would save lives. Information about proposed laws S-4100 and A-7013 is available at act.youre.org.